Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game in Cincinnati this weekend at about the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. We'll be checking in with Jamie in Cincy. But to kick off the show, we got a busy show today. We got a couple guests. We've got Kyle Cousineau, one of the organizers of Throwback Weekend, on the phone with us right now. Mr. Cousineau, how you doing?
Not too bad, Brian. How are you today?
Very good, very good. Glad you could be joining us. You're going to talk to us about Throwback Weekend now in its third consecutive season. For those of us who might not know what Throwback Weekend is, just in general, how would you describe it?
Well, thanks again for having me on and let me talk about this again this year. I guess if I could describe Throwback Weekend, how I've kind of described it to people that don't really grasp what it is that we're all about, it's what I like to call the largest gathering of Packer fans that I've all kind of met and through social media, Twitter, Facebook, through the Packer blogosphere. Myself and Wally Pingle from PocketDoppler.com got together here a couple of years ago and decided to have a little, what people on Twitter like to call a tweet-up, what I like to call just a party, I guess, if you will. Just a bunch of Packer fans from all over the country getting together in Green Bay the weekend of the Browns game, which is 1 month from today. Just getting together, hanging out, talking Packer football, and enjoying each other's company.
Okay, so now it spans 2 days, the Saturday before the Browns game and then the Sunday of the Browns game. Tell me what happens the night before. What's going on Saturday, the day before, when people come into town?
Well, officially we're starting at about 7 p.m. at the Green Bay Distillery, which is on Potts Avenue, a half a block from Lambeau Field, right across the street from the Ray Nitschke practice field and the Don Hutson Center. 7 o'clock, we're going to be at the distillery. We're going to have some live entertainment. We're just all going to be kind of hanging out, talking. We've got a bunch of Packers beat writers and bloggers that are going to be around to talk Packer football with. We have a couple other surprises up our sleeves that we're not quite ready to announce yet. Wally and myself are hammering out the final details on that, and I don't want to say one way or another whether or not these are going to happen, just in case something were to fall through on our end. But then on Sunday, after, like I said, 7 o'clock, that's Saturday night, and if the last 2 years have been any, anything at all, it'll pretty much go until the wee hours of the morning. I think last year, we went pretty much right up until bar close, which is why we choose the Browns game, which is a 3 p.m. or 3:30 kickoff on Sunday. And on Sunday, we'll be back at the Green Bay Distillery, but only in their parking lot, not in the building. They're nice enough to pretty much save a section of the parking lot for us for a big tailgate party that will be starting at noon on Sunday.
So, kind of describe to people how this works. It's not totally free. I wouldn't say it's expensive by any means, but how much do they have to pay and what do they get for their money?
Well, everything, all the information is on throwbackweekend.com. We have a few different packages, if you will. We have a Saturday-only package, a Sunday-only package, and then we have the weekend package. Your best value, quote-unquote, if you will, is the weekend package. It's $50 for the weekend. That gets you the Saturday party, the Throwback Weekend t-shirt, which we're in the final stages of getting designed right now. Gets you 4 drink cards to be used at Green Bay Distillery on Saturday night. Excuse me. And then the tailgate party on Sunday, which we provide beverages and food. And on top of all of that, we have DJ entertainment that we're paying for both Saturday and Sunday. And none of this is for profit. I just want to make that clear. All of the, if there's any money at all left over from everything, it is all donated to the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research. So it's not like Wally and myself are trying to, you know, turn a profit or make a quick buck off of this. It's not our, it's not what we're, what we're all about when it comes to Throwback Weekend.
So there you go, folks. All you can eat on Sunday during the tailgate. You get four drink tickets the day before the party at the Green Bay Distillery. I highly suggest you take a Throwback Weekend up on these options and register. How do people register exactly, Mr. Cousineau?
Registration is open. You go to throwbackweekend.com, and on the top of the webpage, there is a link to register. Everything is there, right there. It's very easy. Wally and his crew built a very, very user-friendly website. We've had a bunch of registrations so far. We do urge people, if you are coming, to please register in the next 2 weeks. We need to start putting the final numbers together for food and drink to find out exactly how many, you know, burgers and brats and how many beers and everything else that we need to purchase for the tailgate party. And most importantly, with the T-shirt that comes with the registration for the weekend package, we need to get those sent off to the printer to make sure that we have enough for everybody that is coming. So like I said, throwbackweekend.com. If you could, please do it in the next 2 weeks, just so it makes it a lot easier on Wally and I.
Now, everybody who comes to Throwback Weekend is kind of on their own during the game. They're kind of up to their own devices to obtain tickets, but you've kind of made that a little bit easier this season, a little bit of a partnership with Titletown Tickets. Can you explain that, Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely. Bill at Titletown Tickets has, we reached out to him to kind of get, his name out there as a ticket broker. He's agreed, if you call Titletown Tickets, they do not have a website or a Twitter account. I shouldn't say that. They have a website. They're not on Twitter, but they prefer to do everything the old-fashioned way over the phone. If you mention that you are coming for Throwback Weekend, they will give you a 10% discount. Now, it's not a huge discount, but the way I kind of look at it, if you're buying a couple of tickets, for the game, you're basically going to get a discount on those two tickets. And you can use that money towards the Throwback Weekend registration, or if you want to have a hot dog and a beer at the Packer game, the money that you're saving with Titletown Tickets, that'll cover that cost.
That's very cool. Kyle, kind of talking about, I think people come into the show kind of expecting a little bit of a Cincinnati Bengals preview here. So I'm going to pick your brain for a second here on what's going to happen this weekend. I no doubt about it. I'm totally excited for what's going to happen in a month. But give me your prediction of what's going to happen on Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati.
Well, if you know me at all, you know I'm a huge Packers homer, and I'm always going to tell you kind of tongue-in-cheek that the Packers are going to win by 20. I don't know if that's necessarily the case in my heart of hearts. I do predict the Packers' victory. I think, the biggest matchup is going to be the Packers' wide receivers against the Bengals' secondary. Because personally, I don't think the Bengals' secondary can keep up with James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and JerMichael Finley. And, we don't know for sure whether or not Eddie Lacy's going to play. It would be nice to be able to pound that front seven of the Bengals with a big bruising back. But, James Starks was able to run all over the Redskins' defense. And I know that they're not terrible necessarily, when talking about the Redskins and the Bengals' defenses. But I'm really looking forward to watching the wide receivers and JerMichael Finley run see how open they can get for Aaron Rodgers, because right now he just seems like he's so dialed in, and it'll be interesting to watch that develop.
No doubt about it. The Packers passing game in general is dialed in. All those the top four receiving options for the Packers all kicking butt this year so far. So I definitely think that's a matchup to watch as well. But Kyle, I really appreciate you joining me here this morning. Any parting words on Throwback Weekend before you go?
It's a very, very unique experience. I've been to these types of parties and tailgates with Packer fans, for a number of years. And I might be biased, but I think ours is really, truly unique. We had, roughly 150 people there last year from probably 20 to 25 states and Canada. We're looking, just based on some numbers that we have so far, We're looking to expand that to about 25 to 30 different states being represented. There was some talk of some international guests coming from overseas. I'm not sure if that's happening. There were some Packer fans talking about coming up from Mexico. Even somebody from Brazil had reached out. So this is kind of, you know, what started off to be a pretty small party, you know, in Wally Pingle's backyard 2 years ago has kind of taken on a life of its own. So we're looking forward to seeing how many exactly how many people we're going to be able to pull into Green Bay this year. Coming up 1 month from today, we'll be waking up and getting ready to celebrate hopefully a Packers victory against the Browns.
All right, I'm looking forward to it, Kyle, and I'll see you there. But for the time being, I'm going to let you go, and you can get back to work here on a Friday morning.
Excellent. I appreciate it, Brian. All your help.
All right. Take care. Kyle Cousineau of Throwback Weekend joining us to talk about the event that's coming 1 month away. It is a Cheesehead TV-sponsored event where we will be there in force. I will be there. I got to check in with, actually, Aaron Nagler and Corey Behnke. Corey has been a regular coming up from New York City over to Throwback Weekend. I haven't even asked him if he's going to make it this year. I assume he is. Corey wouldn't miss it. As for Mr. Nagler, I'm not sure if work's going to allow him to or not. I know he would love to be there, but we'll have to find out and ask them if they're going to make it. But I'm going to be there for sure. Jamie, on the live blog, are you going to be there? I encourage everybody to go sign up, throwbackweekend.com. It's worth your time, worth your effort, worth your money. Like I said, $50 for the entire weekend if you pre-register, rather than the day of the event or anything like that. Party Saturday night, you get drinks at the Green Bay Distillery, tailgate Sunday morning. Brats, beers, you name it, all provided for you. So really cool event, and a lot of really cool people will be there. So Jamie says she's trying, not a definite yet. She wants to be there, but making it happen is a different thing. So we'll see on Jamie if she's going to make it to Throwback Weekend or not. But she's going to be at the game this weekend, though, for sure, in Cincinnati. And we'll call Jamie shortly here. Before I call Jamie here and we talk a little bit about that, I got to give my official prediction, and I did so on K107 as I usually, right before I come on air here on Railbird Central on Friday mornings, I do my regular weekly appearance on K107 in Fond du Lac. And folks, I'm sorry, I'm predicting a Packers loss. I know people hate to hear that on a Green Bay Packers podcast. Like I said, though, I'm one who picks with my head, not my heart. Believe me, I want to be wrong. Please, Green Bay Packers, please prove me wrong by all means. But, I think this is a really tough spot for the Packers having to travel on the road. If this game were at home, maybe it would be a different story. And maybe if the Packers were at full strength, maybe it would be a different story. But I am predicting a Packers loss at Paul Brown Stadium on Sunday. I just think, the Packers, they definitely don't have Casey Hayward. He's been ruled out of the game. It's not looking like they're going to have safety Morgan Burnett. Mike McCarthy has said he's a long shot to play, and I almost guarantee you Morgan Burnett's not going to be available. Eddie Lacy, his status is kind of up in the air. It could depend on if he practices today. Mike McCarthy said at practice yesterday on Thursday that Eddie Lacy would have to practice today on Friday if he's going to play at all on Sunday. If you can kind of follow me there with all the days I just threw out, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. So Eddie Lacy, his status up in the air, even fullback John Kuhn. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be really tough for the Packers if both Lacy and Kuhn are missing, leaving them with only two healthy true running backs in the backfield, James Starks, Jonathan Franklin. pass protection is not their forte, either one of them. In fact, your two best pass-protecting running backs are probably Lacy and Kuhn. And you know Kuhn has been back there as kind of a third-down back, kind of the personal protector for quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I think that's going to be really tough. I think the Packers trying to defend the Cincinnati Bengals passing game and trying to contain A.J. Green is going to be tough without Casey Hayward, without Morgan Burnett. I think that's going to be a tall task, and including the two-headed tight end tandem in Cincinnati as well of Jermaine Gresham and Tyler Eifert. I think all those guys combined, that's going to be difficult for the Packers to stop. And then you got the Cincinnati defensive line and front seven as well, led by Geno Atkins. I love Geno Atkins. I think he's a terrific player. He's going to be tough to run the ball against, but he's joined by a talented defensive line. They got Michael Bennett there. They have, you throw the name out on the live blog, their bookend defensive end there, who's talented as well. The name escaping me here off the top of my head at the moment, but, the Cincinnati Bengals defensive line, I think they're going to be a challenge for the Packers offensive line. I think this is, by no means do I think the Packers are going to get killed, folks. I don't mean it that way. Don't get me wrong. I think this is going to be really a tough fought ball game. I think it could actually be kind of, I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I think these teams are going to play each other rather closely, and it'll be one of those games where it's, the finals, each team's going to have, 20 to 30 points in that range, in the 20s and the 30s. I don't think this is going to be a team where either team gets into the 40s, though. So, that's the way I see it. I think it's going to be somewhere right around, the score could end up being 28 to 30. It wouldn't surprise me at all if the Packers win. I'm just think this is a really tough opponent to be playing on the road early in the season with a dinged up Packers team, a team that might be without the services of Burnett, Hayward, perhaps Lacy, perhaps Kuhn, and trying to beat them with a dinged up squad. And then they, going to be the Packers offensive backfield trying to get by with only two guys. I think that's going to be tough for them. I really, really do. John Kuhn just provides so many things that the Packers can't do. He might be a bigger loss than Eddie Lacy, to tell you the truth. Because if they don't have John Kuhn, they can't really run out of the I formation. Yeah, the tight ends can kind of act as H-backs, but they don't really ever act as lead fullbacks, at least out of the I formation. A lot of times they do the offset I, but so they can't, run out of the I formation really, or they don't very much. And then they don't have the personal protector for Aaron Rodgers. So I really think losing John Kuhn, that would be a big deal. So, they can use the H-backs, but it's not as effective, I don't think. So I think that will be a reason the Packers lose. I'll say it, 30 to 28, the Packers lose. I hope I'm wrong. I really, really do. I just think, it's a tough matchup. It's early in the season yet, maybe. If the Packers were at home, if this were at Lambeau Field, if this were the week after the bye, I would maybe call for something different. But like we talked about with Nathan Yonke this past Wednesday, though, it's a little bit all downhill from here. This is arguably the toughest remaining game on the Packers schedule. No doubt about it. Not an easy schedule by any means. A lot of tough road games coming up. Got to go to New York. Got to go to Dallas. Got to go to the defending World Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. Got to travel to each NFC North team. All those things. But I think the Bengals are better than each one of those teams I just listed, though. I see the Packers having a better chance of winning at New York, better chance of winning at Dallas, better chance of winning anywhere in the NFC North. I think the Packers could even sweep the NFC North this year. That's right. I'm liable to change my mind based upon, you know, when the time comes. But I'll say that right now, folks. I could see the Packers sweeping the NFC North. So you understand, I'm not down on the Packers by any means. I just predict them to lose this Sunday. But I think they are good enough to sweep the NFC North, win the division, even do damage in the playoffs. Of course, it's all about how you're playing late in the year. Teams get hot, they bring that momentum with them into the playoffs, and you know, we saw it with the last Packers Super Bowl back in 2010 or 2011 when the playoffs were. You got to play good late in the year. You have to play good late in the year. But what I'm going to do here, folks, is I'm going to try to get our live blog producer, Jamie Snowden, on the phone. She's going to give us the lowdown of what's happening in Cincinnati, since that is where she lives. So I'm going to get her on the phone. I'm trying to do this kind of extemporaneously here, trying to pull up my contacts in my phone at the exact same time as I'm trying to talk to you here on the air. And just give me a second here while I can get this going here. Here we go, Jamie. I think I've got it. I think I've got you here. If I'll dial you up, we'll see here.
Hello.
Good morning, Jamie Snowden. How you doing?
I am good. Good to hear your voice, Brian, on the phone, not just on my PC, on my computer.
Good to hear yours as well. Of course, Jamie, you live in Cincinnati, so you can give us the lowdown of what's going on. And I think what's really cool for fans is Cincinnati has their big Oktoberfest going on this weekend. For people who might be coming into town, give them the lowdown on that.
Cincinnati's Oktoberfest is amazing. And when I first moved here, I thought that was almost blasphemous to say, being from Wisconsin. just being German heritage from Wisconsin, that was, you know, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that's where German Americans really live. But Cincinnati is just, it is bigger. And they do it, they go all out. It is the biggest Oktoberfest in the United States. It's a huge event, and I go every year, and I always have the best time. And so when I found out that the Packers game was this weekend too, I'm so excited. I'm in Packers gear at work today. I cannot wait to leave work and go downtown. It's so much fun. They have tons of good food, German beers, German music. And actually I just found out this morning, they always do the largest chicken dance. They actually, I think, hold the Guinness World record
okay.
for the largest chicken dance. I didn't know that was a record someone would want to hold. But George Takei is actually leading it this year.
Of Star Trek.
4 o'clock. Yes. So, I mean, it's a pretty big deal. So I'm very excited about it. It takes place downtown, actually just about two blocks east and maybe like 3 blocks in from the stadium. So anyone coming into town for the game, Saturday definitely check it out, or Sunday before game. It starts at 9:30 in the morning, so you don't even need to go to the stadium tailgate. You can just walk around downtown.
I'm definitely almost tempted to come, knowing that George Takei is leading the world record attempt at the chicken dance or whatever they're doing. So where it is located directly downtown, are streets closed off? Is that how they do it? I mean, yeah. Explain that to me.
Yes, they closed Fifth Street between Vine and Sentinel, which doesn't really mean anything to anybody else. But yeah, it's kind of the heart of the business district downtown. And they closed about four of the cross streets between 4th and 6th Street. So it's just this big outdoor downtown thing. Cincinnati really likes doing kind of downtown outdoor festivals where they close down the streets. But Oktoberfest really is the biggest, which is nice because that means when you come for the game, there's a lot of parking. You can walk around and eat food and drink beer the entire way. And then there's like two blocks in between from the stadium to the festival.
So,
anyone coming to the game, though, I would recommend getting there a little bit earlier just because the streets are going to be closed, and that does affect just moving around and stuff.
I mean, on a weekend like this, is the tailgating scene at the game any different? Are most of the people choosing to go to Oktoberfest instead? Is their normal parking lots open? How does that work?
I think it will be a little bit different just because you do have the availability. Games start at 1 here, you know, and Oktoberfest starts at 9:30, so you have the whole morning really to hang out at the festival. But there's always going to be tailgaters. There's not a ton of parking for the stadium. It's not, you know, when I think of tailgating, I always think of Miller Park and just, you know, tons of space and a big open parking lot. And there's really not that by the stadium. There's smaller parking lots, and then there's this, like, really giant one that's a little bit lower than the stadium that a lot of people just walk to and then walk around and go to the tailgates. So all of that will be happening, but Cincinnati is, when they tailgate, sometimes they just park across the street. They park at Longworth Hall and places that aren't actually part of the stadium, and park at bars, just like the Green Bay Distillery, kind of like what Kyle was talking about, and tailgate there. And so all that will be going on around the stadium, but since it's all so close, I kind of just have this feeling that it's going to be one massive tailgate, beer, brats, geta, German food fest.
It's very,
you know, I don't eat meat, but I'm down with the beer, so I'm really excited about that.
Very appropriate that the none other than the Green Bay Packers would be coming for that type of weekend. I see on the live blog, Mike Levenowicz is excited because he's going to be going to the game. What are you doing before the game on Sunday? Do you have any plans yet?
I don't have definite plans yet. My coworker, a bunch of his son and his brother are Packers fans, so they're, they've got their tailgating spot up and going. I found out last night that Steve, the owner, will actually be in town, and he's tailgating. And then I'm still waiting to see. My boss has season tickets. So if he goes, he's probably going to tailgate, and I might just hang out with him because they'll have good food and stuff. But if he doesn't, I'm trying to get his ticket. So I don't have my definite plans yet for tailgating, but I'll be down there early. I mean, even if you don't have a definite spot, there's going to be so much going on to be able to walk around, and it's supposed to be a gorgeous day. 75 is the high, so it won't be too hot. It won't be too cold. The low's just like mid-50s. You're just right on the lake. It should be a beautiful day.
Nice. What
lake, river.
What's your prediction of what's going to happen during the game? What do you think is going to happen, Jamie?
I have gone back and forth earlier this week. Someone asked me to help them place bets, and I said, you know, the line for the Green Bay game was 2, and he said, you know, can Green Bay win by a field goal? And I said, I'm scared. Weird things happen when the Packers come to Cincinnati. when they play Cincinnati at all, it's weird. Games you shouldn't lose look awful in. And so I was really nervous. But the more I kind of thought about it, last night on Chiefs Radio, I gave my prediction as 27-13. I think it could be close at times, you know, a 10-14 kind of game, really close, but I think the Packers have the opportunity to pull away. The strength of the Bengals defense is their run defense, and that's not the strength of the Packers offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like you were saying earlier, the Packers could have a really good day throwing the ball. I think you and Kyle were talking about it. Just that is the weakest spot with injuries,
mm-hmm,
that on the Bengals defense. And I think the Packers can get to Andy Dalton. If you watch the Monday night game, he gets rattled so easily.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just a little bit of pressure, and that ball's going like 5 yards over receiver's head. So I'm hopeful now because I don't want to go and watch a loss. Bengals fans are nice until it's a close game, and then it can get a little sketchy. So.
I do think it's definitely interesting that it seems to be that the Bengals' strengths are the Packers' weaknesses, and vice versa. The Packers' strengths are the Bengals' weaknesses. You know, like the Bengals' run defense going against a weak Packers run game, and then, you know, a good Packers passing game going against a weak Bengals secondary. So I do think that's fascinating in itself, that can make it an interesting game either way.
Yes, I agree. So it's on paper, you kind of look at it and you're saying, well, clearly Aaron Rodgers should just throw all day and they should be able to roll and kind of have that shootout style. And I don't think Dalton and the Bengals offense could keep up with that. But rarely, especially here, do things ever go the way they're supposed to on paper. So I'm still a little nervous, but just like Kyle said earlier, I'm a homer too, so I will always pick the Packers. I don't have the responsibility like you do of having to pick with my head. It always is my heart, but I'll try to at least be honest with it. I don't feel the most confident in it, but
yeah.
I'm always going to say the Packers. And I did want to add that anyone going to the game, I did just find out that the Ohio State marching band will be playing at halftime, which I don't like Ohio State, but they have an amazing marching band. So that should definitely be a good show.
They're going to dot the I and everything in Paul Brown Stadium?
I do believe so. I think I've seen them before, because for the last couple of years, it's been pretty easy to get Bengals tickets. So if it was Packers bye week or a Monday night game, you'd go. And so I think they've done it before, but I just got that email a little while ago because I get my boss's season tickets emails. And so I was pretty excited about that. So I wrote that down to make sure I told you about it.
And then on Sunday night, Widespread Panic is playing in Cincinnati. Are you going to that?
I am not. I'm letting my husband go with his friends, doing a little, I think he's going with all of the groomsmen from the wedding and stuff, and they're doing a little post-wedding boy celebration. So, but I mean, he already has Monday off. He's going to have a great weekend. He's got, you know, Oktoberfest all day Sunday, possibly coming to the game with me, and then more Oktoberfest and Widespread. It'll be a good time.
Be a busy weekend. Well, Jamie,
yes.
Have a good time. Sir, I know you will have a good time at Oktoberfest, the game and everything. And thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
All right. Take care. Our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, checking in from Cincinnati to talk to us today. She predicts a Packers victory. Kyle Cousineau predicts a Packers victory. I predict a Packers loss. I'm outnumbered, so there you go. Anyway, folks, thanks for joining us here on a Friday morning. We'll be back again on Monday, once again, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time. Hopefully, we're talking about a Packers victory. I'm happy to be wrong. So it's going to be an exciting game nonetheless, no doubt about it. We'll see you later, everybody, folks. I leave you today with a song called Feed the Wolf by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.